Welcome to Abergavenny Baptist Church.
So the Bible reading is from Galatians chapter 6 and verses 1 to 5. Brothers and sisters, if anyone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions, then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. So we continue now a series through the book of Galatians entitled Freedom in Jesus. And today we're looking at Galatians chapter 6 and verses 1 to 5. Now, up until this point in the letter, Paul has been arguing that we should not be a slave to the law, a slave to some legal code, to a list of rules. That's legalism. Nor, on the other hand, should we be a slave to self, to the cravings of the flesh, to our selfish desires, to just doing whatever we please. That is lawlessness. And he's been arguing that we should be led by the Spirit, that we should walk in step with the Spirit, and that leads to freedom. And it leads to the fruits of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the question is, then, what does a Spirit-filled life look like practically? Practically, what does that look like? Now, we often think that a Spirit-filled life, a life that is just filled with the Holy Spirit, is all about having this sort of private, mystical experience where you get lifted to this higher plane, away from the practical worries and difficulties of day-to-day life. Well, if that's what you think, you're in for quite a shock, because Paul describes the marks of a truly spiritual life in very practical, down-to-earth relationships with other people. The true sign that you're filled with the Spirit, the true sign that you are really spiritual, is not about how many private mystical encounters you've had, but how you relate to other people practically. How do you love people? And Paul's kind of assuming that there will be difficult relationships and problems. So often we think, well, if I put my faith in Jesus and I receive the Holy Spirit, then all of a sudden all my problems will disappear. Come to Jesus and all your problems will disappear and everyone will be nice. If only that was true. The Bible basically says, put your faith in Jesus and then get yourself ready for a constant stream of difficulties and problems. So the Bible doesn't guarantee you an easy life or promise you a problem-free life. The Bible promises you the Holy Spirit, which is the very presence of God dwelling within you, empowering you, enabling you, giving you the resource to withstand and overcome all the difficulties and all the problems that will come your way. So the Bible doesn't promise to remove all the problems and doesn't promise that everyone will become nice. So the first down-to-earth practical relationship that Paul deals with in Galatians is, what should you do when you suddenly discover that someone is caught in a sin? What should you do? Now, Paul doesn't tell us what sin he has in mind here. He merely says in verse 1, if someone is caught in a sin. So he doesn't tell us what this sin is. But in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 15, he says, if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. And so within the church in Galatia, there seems to be divisions and fractions, most likely caused by those troublemakers from Jerusalem who had come. And so there was gossiping, there was backbiting, there was resentment. And this was not very loving. And this was destroying relationships. You see, sin isn't just about breaking some rule, breaking some law. And it's unlikely that Paul has the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, and so on in mind over here, because in the whole letter of Galatians, he's been arguing very strongly that we're not under the authority of the law of Moses. So sin isn't breaking the law of Moses. Sin is breaking the law of Christ. And the law of Christ, which we discover in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14, is loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. Sin is the opposite of that. Sin is not loving God and not loving other people. And it always leads to heartache and pain, and it destroys relationships. And that's why we can't ignore it. What should you do when you suddenly discover that someone is caught in a sin? Now that you are Spirit-filled, now that you've been led by the Holy Spirit, what should you do? Should you overlook sin, ignore it in the name of love? Or should you expose it, publicly expose it to everyone, and thereby showing everyone else how more superior you are, how more holy you are? Well, of course not. Paul says we shouldn't do either of those two. We should never ignore sin, because it doesn't matter how hidden it is, it will cause problems in the church. It will hurt other people. And it will hurt the person involved. Nor should we publicly humiliate the person, because that's not going to help anyone. It's just going to make things worse. Just going to make things worse. So Paul suggests that we restore the person. A Spirit-filled person will try to restore the other person. It says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Now, what does restore mean? Well, it's a medical term and is referring to healing. It's all about healing the other person. Our whole motivation for trying to restore someone who's caught in a sin is to heal them. It's never to wound them. It's never to humiliate them and condemn them. It's always only to heal and to restore. That's our motivation. That means that everything we do needs to be motivated. Everything we do, the way we speak, the tone of voice, the words we choose, the time we choose to speak, the setting we choose to do it in, everything needs to be motivated by a desire not to wound, but to heal. And restoring someone is all about getting them back in step with the Holy Spirit. It's not about getting them to obey some rule, some law. It's about getting them to be back in step with the Holy Spirit. Back in step with love. Loving God. Loving and serving other people humbly, just as Jesus came to love and serve us. And so when you try to restore someone, our first focus always needs to be on our relationship with God. And from that relationship with God, it flows out to our relationships with other people. How do we do this practically? Well, Paul gives us some practical suggestions on how to restore someone who is caught in sin. And we read in verse 1, it says, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted." So firstly, when do we do this? When do we do this? Well, it says, if someone is caught in a sin. That means we don't just go jumping in every time we see anyone do anything wrong whatsoever and jump in and go and tell them off. No, we only do this if the person is caught in a sin. So it's not a case of, you know, they've just done something to irritate you and you kind of jump in. They need to be caught in the sin. What does it mean to be caught in the sin? Well, it means that this is repeated. It's a repeated behavior. It's happening over and over again. It's not just a one-off thing. They haven't just done something that's irritated you and now you're going to go and sort them out. No, there has to be a pattern. It has to be a repeated behavior. Being caught also implies, to some degree, the person is blinded. They're blinded to the sin that they've been caught in. You see, if you know you're caught in sin, you're not that caught. It's when you don't know that you're caught in sin that you are really, truly caught. And so if a person is caught in a sin and they know they're caught in the sin, that probably means they're praying about it and they're working on it. The last thing you need to do now is go dumping on them. We need to give them the benefit of the doubt. We mustn't have a critical, judgmental spirit. So it's only when a person is caught in sin, when it's repeated and they're blinded to it, that we need to gently come in and step in. Who do you do this to? Well, it says brothers and sisters. Quite clearly, in that context, it's referring to our fellow believers, our brothers and sisters in Christ. So Paul is not talking about non-Christians. It's not our job to point out sin in a non-Christian's life. It's not our job. A non-Christian doesn't need correction, they need Jesus. In fact, pointing out sin to someone who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus is going to be highly ineffective. It's going to be ineffective. They don't have a relationship with Jesus. But more so, it's going to be completely misleading. You see, if you tell a non-Christian, you say to a non-Christian, look, what you're doing is against the teaching of the Bible. What you're saying to them and what they're definitely going to hear is that to be a Christian means I have to do all these things. I have to obey all these rules. And that's completely misleading. Christianity isn't about obeying rules and doing religious things. It's about a relationship with a person. It's all about having a relationship with Jesus. And so it'll be completely ineffective and misleading to do this to a non-Christian. This, generally speaking, is something that we do to fellow believers, to people who have a relationship with Jesus, to people who are in our church community. Who should do it? Well, it says, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person. And every Christian has the Holy Spirit. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. So this means that any Christian can do it. This is not just for the experts and the elite. Any Christian can do this. So on the one hand, any Christian can do this. But on the other hand, within the letter of Galatians, Paul has constantly been contrasting a person who lives by the Spirit with those who live by the law, the legalist. And so it seems to me that Paul is suggesting that the legalist, The guy who likes to have a list of rules and likes to make sure everyone is obeying the rules should not engage in this ministry. It's those who are being led by the Spirit, who are walking by the Spirit, who are filled with the Spirit, who have the fruits of the Spirit in their life, especially the fruit of love and humility, who should engage in this ministry. Also, if you are the person who has been wronged, you're probably not the best person to point out a mistake, to bring correction. I mean, you're probably not the best person that they're going to listen to and respond by saying, "Oh, I see." Okay? So, if you're the person who's been wronged, the Bible normally talks about restoring the relationship, not restoring the person. So if you have been wronged, you need to focus on restoring your relationship with the person and let another mature, spirit-filled Christian focus on trying to restore the person. They would be in a far better position to go up to the person and say, "Look, I might have this wrong, but it seems to me that you're doing this. I might have this wrong, but this is what it looks like to me. What do you think?" And if that person isn't the person they've wronged, there won't be any embarrassment, and they're far more likely to respond favorably. How should it be done? It says, "You who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently." It literally says, in a spirit of gentleness, which is referring to a spirit of humility, which is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. We always need to go, if we want to engage, try and help someone, try and restore someone, we always need to go humbly. If you go with the attitude that, well, you know, actually I'm better than this person, you know, that feeling of superiority, well, I'm much better than that, I would never do that. Now, of course, no one's going to say that out loud. No Christian would say that out loud. But if you're thinking that in your heart, if you've got that attitude, you are disqualified from trying to restore that person, because you will fail. And it'd be best if you didn't even try. The verse continues, "But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted." If you don't go humbly, but if you go with that feeling of superiority, not only will you fail to restore the other person, but there's more likely that you will fall into temptation. Either into the temptation of spiritual pride, or into the very temptation that you're trying to help the other person from. So we always go humbly. We always go as a fellow sinner who often makes mistakes, who often gets things wrong, who often needs to be restored themselves. But out of love for your friend, out of love for your brother and sister in Christ, you want to go and try and help them. Not only do we go with a spirit of humility, but we need to go being prepared to carry each other's burdens. Being prepared to carry each other's burdens. Verse 2 says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." Now, within the Bible, burdens are often referred, it's often referring to the laws of Moses. The laws of Moses, the requirements of the laws, were often described as burdens that you had to carry. So, for example, in Luke chapter 11 and verse 46, Jesus says, "And you experts in the law, woe to you because you load people down with burdens that they can hardly carry, and you yourself will not lift one finger to help them." And over here, Jesus is referring to the Pharisees, the Jewish religious leaders, who were requiring everyone to obey all these rules and regulations, and they were burdening everyone with these rules and regulations, but they weren't prepared to do anything to try and help them. And in a very similar way, we now have in the church in Galatia, you have these troublemakers from Jerusalem who have come, and they're requiring that all these Galatians follow all these laws of Moses, and they were burdening them down with all these burdens, and they too weren't trying to help them in any way. And so it's as if Paul is saying, well, rather than trying to impose all these laws on people and trying to burden all these people with these laws, rather help them carry their burdens. And in that way, you will be fulfilling the law of Christ, which is all about loving and serving other people humbly. But practically, how do we carry someone's burdens? Well, imagine someone standing under this crushing weight, trying to hold up this weight. How do you carry that burden? Well, you literally got to get right next to them, as close as possible. You virtually have to get in their shoes to carry that weight. We need to get into the other person's shoes. Now, the word understand comes from the words to stand under. You need to listen to the person until you understand. Until you feel what they're feeling. Until you see what they see. And then you need to let them know that you understand. You need to listen until the other person feels understood. And you need to let some of the weight actually become yours. You've got to take some of the weight. That means you've got to suffer. It's only when you engage into a person's life to the point, to the degree that you're actually suffering that you're carrying their burdens. It's only when you start to experience some of their emotional burden yourself that you are carrying their burdens. And we can never help restore someone unless we are prepared to actually carry some of that burden, carry some of their emotional burden ourselves. So in order to restore someone, we need to go with a spirit of humility and being prepared to carry some of their emotional burden. I can remember a number of years ago when Naomi had just been born. And naturally, wasn't getting a lot of sleep, up in the middle of the night. At that time, I was working here, but I was also working in rugby. So I was driving all the way to rugby, driving back, doing lectures, preparing lectures, pastoring the church, and young kid, everything else was going on. I became really irritable and snappy, and I'll just snap at anything and get quite angry. One day when I wasn't angry and snappy, Victoria came up to me and said, "Are you aware that you're getting more and more snappy? And you're losing your temper more and more. And you're getting angry a lot." And of course, on one level, I knew that. But I hadn't really owned that. I hadn't really taken stock of that until it was pointed out. And so I was kind of caught in a sin. And I wasn't aware. And suddenly it was brought into the light. I was able to see it for what it was. See what it was doing to my family, see what it was doing to myself, and realize this was wrong and I needed to stop. And so I was able to pray about it, work on it, and change my action. We all need people who are prepared to speak into our life with a spirit of humility and love. And we need to be prepared to do that for other people. So let's reflect on how we can help restore one another and carry each other's burdens in a spirit of humility and love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are a family, and that within a family we can be honest with each other, we can be real with each other. And we thank you that you've put us in a family so that we can support and help each other to grow. Father, let us always remain humble. Let us always have that attitude of love, trying our best to help one another and to become the people and the community that you want us to be. We ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information about Abergavenny Baptist Church, please visit our website at abergavennybaptist.co.uk.